Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. I want to say good morning to our online family, and I want to give a special hello to Philadelphia Tabernacle, our sister church. Come on, let's say good morning. Hey, Philly Tab. Love you guys. This is week number 3 of our missions month, and the video that you saw of Stacy's life is so powerful because you get to see what the Holy Spirit really wants to do on the inside of people sitting in seats. Every seat is a soul. You're sitting there in Philadelphia. You're sitting at home. You're sitting here, and the eye of God, the heart of God is right upon you. And there's a trajectory that God has for your life. There's a plan and a purpose that God has for your life. It's powerful. It's special. It's wonderful. And it's all about aligning with God's mission. How many want to align with the mission of God for your life? How many would say amen? You know, I just found out that this morning that one of our CSL students who's been with us for a couple years now and is going to be graduating soon, her name is Kyla. She's going to be leaving most likely in January. She's finishing school up. We're training people to go into the ministry and make an impact for the glory of God. We're training people to fulfill the Great Commission. And so she's going to be leaving here and going to Philadelphia and joining the team there. Come on, could we praise God? Jesus is building his church. Hallelujah. And so we're so excited. And part of what we're doing right now is we want to treat her like a missionary. We want to support her. We want to get behind her and many others. But this third week is all about us as individuals. And when we do this individually, something happens collectively. You see, when we do this individually, something powerful happens collectively. And what it means, what happens collectively is that we align ourselves with the Great Commission, which is the mission of God. So the title of today's message today is, how do we align with God's mission? What are we supposed to do to align with God's mission? When Pastor Mike was praying and saying, Lord, help us to see things differently, it means that he was praying that God would put an eternal perspective inside of us, that he would elevate our value system, that would go past our career and move into those things which are eternal. All week, Chrissy was saying, man, I read in Colossians, set your minds on things above. Set your hearts on things above. How many believe Jesus is coming back soon for us? We got to get ready for the coming of the Lord. Get ready for the coming of the Lord. Get ready to present yourself before Christ. He's coming soon. How many would say amen? And so in order to get us thinking this way, I want to highlight a scientific theory that has become commonly known as the butterfly effect. The butterfly effect basically states, it's this idea that small things, everybody say small things. Small things can have a non-linear impact on a complex system. Okay? The way it was put forth to the world is that a butterfly flapping its wings in Brazil can actually contribute to a storm, a tornado in Texas. I love the way some fictional writers actually wrote about this. Listen to this. It used to be thought that events that changed the world were things like big bombs, maniac politicians, huge earthquakes, or vast population movements. But it has now been realized that this is a very old-fashioned view held by people totally out of touch with modern thought. The things that change the world, according to the chaos theory, the butterfly effect, are the tiny things. A butterfly flaps its wings in the Amazonian jungle, and subsequently a storm ravages half of Europe. How many know little things can have or contribute to bring about a great outcome? My favorite is the way Benjamin Franklin put this. I love this. You should teach your kids this. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, a horse was lost. For want of a horse, a battle was lost. And for want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. All for the want of a horseshoe nail. What was Benjamin Franklin saying? He was saying that one nail is the only way you and I should look at our contribution to the great kingdom battle that we are facing. And I'm going to ask you today to say, God, make me your nail. How many want to say, Jesus, make me your nail, because I want the kingdom of God to come. Hallelujah. I want His will to be done. And I want to pray right now before I read you a story that will articulate for us how we align with the mission of God. And as we pray, you know, I've been praying all week. So here's what I'm praying. I'm praying for a work of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for something that goes beyond my capacity to speak. I'm praying that God would do something in your heart today. Not because we want a name for Chicago Tabernacle or Philadelphia Tabernacle. May those names perish. We only want one name around here lifted up, and it's the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the only name that counts. It's the name of Jesus. But something can happen inside of our hearts. And we say, Lord, here am I, send me. So come on, lift your hands with me. Father, we've prayed so much, we've worshiped. And Lord, we come again. And I ask that you would breathe on this message today. I pray for impartation. I pray for personal revelation. I pray for a spirit of personal surrender today. I pray, God, release it. Release, oh God, a yielding to your will and your ways. God, when you come back, my desire, my prayer, God, is that every person that's hearing this message, that they would hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I pray that they would understand that it's not automatic, oh God. It takes an effort, it takes surrender, it takes faith, it takes sacrifice. So put it all inside of us. Help us to align with your mission for our lives. And use us to make, oh God, a significant impact on eternity. Do all of these things, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. So look, I want to read a story to you coming out of Mark chapter 6. This story is a story that's recorded in all of the different gospels. This is one of those few stories that is repeated over and over again. And we've heard it in many times, many ways. But this story will teach us so much on how to align with God's mission. So let's just jump right into it. This was on a day where the apostles had already been ministering with Jesus quite a bit. And so it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. By the way, let me pause right here. Everything in the kingdom of God, when it comes to your life, it starts when you're by yourself with Jesus. All of the great things, all of the important things come as you are by yourself with Jesus. And if you want to know the heart of God, just know he wants you to come and be with him. This is just another example of that. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus looks at the earth, he looks at the earth with great compassion. Okay, he cares about the people on this globe. How many would say amen? It says, so he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was very late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late in the day, very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy them themselves something to eat. But he answered, let's read this line here, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. The Great Commission is a co-mission. The Great Commission is a co-mission, and here it is. Here is the co-mission. God is about to do something, but God wanted them to do something. This is a very, very powerful truth for all of our lives. Now watch this. He said, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? Great question. How many loaves in Philadelphia? How many loaves do you have is the question that Jesus asked them. He asked, go and see. When they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. I believe there was more. I believe there was more lunch in that crowd. But one boy gave up his lunch. It says, then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000, and we know because of that that approximately 10 to 12 or 14,000 people were fed that day. Because when you include the women and the children, all because of an interaction that God had with his disciples. This passage will teach us 4 things, and I'm going to march through this very quickly. If we want to align with God's mission, and by the way, when I say we, you should say me. Because we means me today. How many would say amen? Okay, so we align with God's mission by first and foremost saying yes. I said this on Tuesday. We prayed about this, but not all of you were here. So I'm going to say it again. I'm going to repeat myself. This is the word of the Lord. Okay? We have to say yes, first and foremost, to God's big idea for our lives. God's big idea is the Great Commission. God's big idea is that you were born into this world and then you were born again. And when you were born again, God made you plan of his big idea for this world. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Everything starts with us saying yes to God's idea. It's so much bigger than you and I can handle with our natural mind. There are thousands of people there, and they say, go send them away. And he says, no, you feed them. The word of the Lord is God is saying, I want you to feed somebody on this planet. Feed them the gospel. Feed them the love of God. Feed them the call of God. Feed them mercy. Feed them healing. Feed them love. Hallelujah. You feed them, he said. And when they said yes, then so many incredible things were released. You see, the heart of God is what activates the power of God. When you say yes to God's heart, now you're starting to align yourself with God's power. So girl's coming to church. She's living with her boyfriend. She's not sure, you know, what's going on in her life. She doesn't have clarity. She doesn't have confidence. She doesn't feel good inside or on the outside. There's all kinds of things going on. And she just says, Lord, I surrender to your will and your ways. Have your way. I'm talking about real surrender today. Okay, I'm not talking about mouth. Like saying with your mouth, I surrender, and then doing your own thing. I'm praying for a heart, gut-level surrender. A surrender that says, I bow my will to you, God. I will be counted as one of those in 2024 that said, have your way with my life. I want to challenge you. Say, have your way in Philadelphia. You got to yield and say, have your way. And then all things are possible through Christ Jesus. God really wants to use us, but it all starts with the big yes. And when we say yes to God, then his power, you see, when they said yes, when he said you feed them, you know what he's really saying? He says, I want to feed them through you. It is a commission. When God says, I'm calling you to do this, he was saying, I want you to do this, and if you will obey me and follow me, I'm going to do something great through you. I want you to, I've said this once in a while, but I have, like, maybe in the last 5 years, I just got used to preaching about 5 years ago. I've been doing this for 30 years now. Preaching has been The way someone described preaching to me about me was preaching was a cross to me. It's not something I like to do, but it's something I know was called to do. But I want you to know that the thought that one person would get into heaven off of the simplicity of this mouth, I can't get my head around it, you know? But it was a matter of saying yes. You know, it's not about what you want. It's about what he wants for your life. Come on, somebody say yes to God today. But I got news for you. By saying yes to God, there's so many different ways that I'm blessed and so many different things that God has done for me. I can't even tell you, beginning most of all with my wife. I wouldn't even know her if I didn't say yes to God. You see, when Stacy said yes, I saw her. Of all days, her husband is on post. Come on, let's put our hands together for Jake right there. You can't see him online. He's like this. So, he's one of our security guys. He's ex-serviceman, was in the Marines, correct? Army, in the Army. And I'm telling you, so I walked in one day and I saw her talking to him right there. She was talking real close to him, you know? And she was talking real close to him, and they were like having an exchange. I don't know, he put his arm on her or whatever. And like to think about the powerful, beautiful, wonderful thing God has done in her life. You know why? Because she said yes. So much, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all things will be added. All things. So we try to get all the things by going our way, by mapping out our career. Okay, follow your dreams. I'm telling you right now, follow God's dream for your life. Just say yes. Somebody say amen with me. Just say yes. His plans, his resources, his abilities. He's the God that opens doors that no man can shut. He's got all things, all kinds of things going ready to be released into your life. But you have to say yes. And so we're going to close by praying about that. But you have to say yes to God's will. And surrender means surrender. I'm not sugarcoating this for you. Surrender means sacrifice. Surrender means taking up your cross and carrying it. Okay? Surrender means turning away from this world. Love not the world or the things in this world. Okay, it means saying, I love God more than I love this world. You understand? It means, Lord, I want to honor you and serve you. Christianity is not like this kind of Pop-Tart thing that you like go for a second and feel good and then you walk away and live your own life. Christianity is deep surrender. You go into the oven of surrender and you say, cook me and work me and have your way with me, Lord God. Shape me and mold me and transform me, God. Let your will be done. Turn me into a man of God. Turn me into a woman of God. That's what it means to say yes. But when you say yes, you have to say yes to God's big idea for your life. Number two, and this is 4 points. Two I'm going to say very, very quickly because they are supportive but not primary. So number two, we have to say yes by organizing for the miracle. I want you to notice that he said, sit them down, and he set them down in 50s and 100s, and God was about to do a miracle, but there was a great organization that took place. What do you think we've been doing all month? We are organizing for a miracle. Does everybody recognize that? We're organizing and getting around the heart of God and the will of God so that he could do something powerful. If you're like, man, 4 weeks on missions, yes, we're organizing for a miracle. Don't miss out on the miracle. Understand what's happening right before you. In fact, could we just put our hands together for all of those who've worked on this because they've done? Come on, let's put our hands together there. Hallelujah. Missions trips are being prepared. Opportunities for giving. All of these different things are part of organizing for the miracle. That's what we're doing. And it's very, very important. We have to say, yes, I want to be part of God's miracle. We're making room for the miracle. That's what's happening right before your very eyes. That's what they did. That's what we're doing. We're doing what they did in the Bible. Number three, we have to say yes to playing our part in the executing of the miracle. I know I said say yes to the big idea, but then there's your part. Okay, so notice, if they could send me a keyboard player, notice that Jesus says to them, what do you have? They bring him the lunch. Jesus starts to do the miracle, which, by the way, my whole life, every time I read this, I'm like, when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, hey, could I get the videotape on that? Right? I want the video. I want the replay on that. Because I've always wondered, did it multiply in the baskets? Did it multiply in his hands? Like, how does one loaf of bread feed 12,000 people? Or two, or whatever. How does a couple of fish feed that many people? How did it? I want to see that with my own eyes. But here's what's so amazing is that Jesus took that miracle and he put it in the hands of one of his disciples. And you know what he said? He said, "You take it to them. You go." Do you have the heart to take a piece of bread or a piece of fish in 2024? Because Jesus is saying the same thing. Jesus is saying, "I'm ready to do the same thing." But are you ready? Are you willing to be trained up? They were with him for 3 years. Are you willing to be trained up? Have you signed up for a DNA of a Leader cohort? Are you understanding what it means to be privately healthy so that you could be publicly fruitful? Right? Are you taking the time, right, to get trained and to learn and to grow so that Jesus will put a piece of bread in your hands and so that you could walk that bread to a family and they're going to have the bread of life and generations will be transformed by what they're doing? Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Brothers and sisters, don't miss it. Fathers, don't miss it. Young men who have a longing to be used, you have this career, you have this vision for your life. Hey, we have tons of, Pastor Mike is a lay pastor. Look, sometimes I talk to Pastor Mike, right? And I start crying. When I've never told this, and I don't know, maybe I'll get in trouble for it. You know, when we first started this church and there were a handful of people and I met him, I went on a trip to Cuba. You know, we got paid nothing here. You know, we had three kids. It was so, so hard in the beginning financially. I can't even put it into words. And Mike and Ann, several times, they said, here, and they paid for Chrissy and I to go away for 2 or 3 days. He paid for my vacations. And those acts of kindness, those small acts of kindness, they are so transforming to people's lives. You gotta understand how much something small that you do, if you position yourself correctly, which is what this point is about, you position yourself correctly, you have no idea how God wants to use you. So the thing that we have to get is, what is your part? God, what's my part? What's my part, Lord? You listening in Philadelphia? What's my part? I say yes to my part. Anybody here ready to say yes to playing your part? Hallelujah, Jesus. Listen, participation is the great challenge of the kingdom of God. The Bible says the harvest is ripe, but the workers are. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out workers. So I'm asking you to pray to the Lord and say, God, send me, make me one of those. Send me, Lord. It doesn't mean that... I was talking to someone the other day, and it's like, I wouldn't say yes to God because I didn't feel like going all the way to Africa. I was afraid that I would end up in Africa. You know, when you say yes to God, doesn't mean that like you're off to you know, the South Pole. Whatever it is, it's going to be wonderful. How many would say amen? Whatever it is, it's going to be wonderful. Hallelujah. By the way, ironically, she has made a huge impact in Africa, but you know, we've sent so many people, Ben Struss and his wife Kathleen and Joel and Karen Hubiar. There's so many people in so many places who said yes. We have a, do you know, we serve, we have a Todd Lucas and his wife, Chandra. They are, we support them as missionaries. And they're on 5 college campuses. And they're reaching out to kids on 5 different college campuses. And guess what? They're baptizing people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Could we praise God? Hallelujah, Jesus. We support them. And other people support them. You know, but they're playing their part. I want to encourage you, get yourself ready. Participation is the great challenge. Little is much when God is in it. Don't say, I want the big, big plan if you won't take the next step. Just say yes to the next step and God will unfold his plan. How many would say amen? Jesus got the disciples involved because he wanted them involved and he wants us involved. Point number 4, we'll be closing in a moment. We have to do what they did. We have to say yes by placing the offering. Everybody say offering. We have to place the offering into his hands. You see, 12,000 people, one boy gives up his lunch. Now, you and I know that's not the, that wasn't accurate. What that revealed is one person was willing. One person was willing at the time, but they didn't have a full picture of who Jesus was. We have a full picture. We've been bought with the blood of Christ. We've been saved and transformed and blessed beyond measure. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. So look, I wanna give you a modern day butterfly effect. In 2002, actually it started in 2001, but this was before February of 2002. Christy and I were on staff at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and one of Pastor Simba's best friends, his name was Ron Mel. Okay, can we throw up his picture? Ron Mel, he passed on pretty young. He had, I believe it was leukemia. And let me just read a quick this about him. Mel began his ministry service in June 1966, which is the year I was born, as a representative of Life Bible College, and became the youth pastor at the Portland Foursquare Church in September of 1966, which was the month I was born. By 1969, he was serving as the youth director of the Great Lakes District in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Mel left in Kenosha in 1973 to become the senior pastor of Beaverton Foursquare Church in Beaverton, Oregon. That first Sunday, only a dozen people attended. Over the next 30 years, however, attendance on Sundays grew to over 6,000 people, resulting in the largest church congregation in Oregon in 1999. He was the author of 14 books, including God Works the Night Shift, and Just in Case I Can't Be There, he wrote a beautiful book to his kids because he knew he was going to be going home early. So I was on staff at Brooklyn Tabernacle, and we were literally walking by, and he says, "Hey, are you Jim's son-in-law?" I said, "Yes, sir, my name's Al Toledo." Shook his hand. And he was like, "Oh, it's nice to meet you," and all this. And then, you know, I've never told this story publicly, but he says to me, "You don't belong here." He said, "You're called to," people don't know this, but he said, "You're called to lead. You got to go." I was like, Now, part of the reason that that hit me that way is because God had was already working in Chrissy and I. And then President George Cope of a Bible school came by who I knew, and he and I were alone in the office. He was going to preach to another preacher. And he said to me, "Al, what are you doing here? You don't belong here." It's like, oh, snap. You know, but hey, big church, grandma, grandpa, it's all good. He's like, "You don't belong here. You got to go." And so anyway, the whole process started. There were all kinds of things in addition to this. So we're in front of Moody Bible Institute. CT was not born yet. I don't even know if we bought the house yet. We might have been looking for a house here. And we went to visit someone. I don't know what we were doing there, but I get a call from Ron Mel. So I step outside, and Ron Mel says to me, "Al, I spoke to the board, and we're going to give you, I'll never forget, he said, we're going to give you $900 for 9 months. He said, if it doesn't go after 9 months, this thing ain't going. I was like, gulp, you know. So he was the first leader to sow a seed into the future of Chicago Tabernacle. I bet you that church and those leaders, they don't even have an idea of what that $900 led to. Okay? The Stacy's, the Pastor Jose was the first disciple of this church, right? And all of the people, you know, we have members who have left here and gone to churches and they become pastors. One of our brothers went to church in Colorado. They put him over the prayer meeting. People are just like all over the place. Because we're called to raise them up and send them out. How many would say amen? And listen, no idea. Then Pastor Durso, after that, Pastor Durso basically called and said, "Al, we're going to send you $300 a month. We're going to, the next time Pastor Durso comes in, could you please, like, honor him? Because they had the faith to sow a seed into this ministry, which at the time wasn't even born yet. They said, I'm going to sow a seed." You know what they did? They put an offering in the Lord's hand. And they said, "God, it's not this couple. It's you. I believe you could do something special with this. It's you. And so, Lord, I'm putting this into your hands." And then others, then Brooklyn Tabernacle came and made a commitment to us and on. But now most of the people in those churches, I would say 99.9% of the people in those churches don't even really know how their giving impacted a little church in Chicago. That's now training. Imagine being invited to train 1,200 pastors in Tanzania. Do you understand the multiplying effect of that? God is doing something great. But look, it happens through an offering. Next week, we're going to take an offering. And next month, we're going to start our faith promises. I want you to pray about giving. It is our turn. Somebody say it's our turn. It's our turn. We've got to send money to Ben Struss. We've got to send money to other places. It's our turn to be that 300, that 600, that 900 for someplace else. It's our turn. I'm telling you right now, I have been praying and the Lord has spoken to me as your pastor, and he has been like weighing in on Chrissy and I, saying, look, you guys are not a baby church anymore. You gotta lift up your eyes towards the big picture, towards the mission field. And if you work for me, just watch me work for you. How many believe that God wants to do something explosive in our midst? Hallelujah. So look, I want this to be clear. We're going to pray for ourselves in a moment. But look, here's what we're doing. We're doing two things. First of all, we're launching this new missions endeavor by taking a special impact offering. We want to take an offering to start this process of impacting. And here's our biblical foundation for it. It says, for God is the one who provides seed. Everybody say seed. Watch this. So seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. You will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. So God gives you seed. You sow the seed. And when you sow the seed, God says, because you sow the seed that I give you, I'll give you more seed, but you'll be enriched in the process. And I want to get you to the place that you're always generous. You're always operating in a spirit of generosity. It says, and when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. How many want to do something that makes people praise God? Come on. Could you put your hands together? Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your name. So look, here's what I know. I know one day when I say that, you guys are going to stand up and cheer. You're going to stand up and cheer because you understand, because when you participate in this, you're going to see the release of the power of God. And when you start to experience the release of the power of God in your life, then you're going to be like, this is, we have to get in line with the heart of God. And then after that, every third month, we're asking everyone to make a faith promise. Everybody say faith promise. And that's, we're asking for as you can. Someone, precious sister in our church, said to one of our pastors, you know, I just started tithing, and I don't think I can do the $33. Can I give less? We were like, oh my goodness, my sister, you could give 30 cents. You could give 3 cents. And Jesus would celebrate that. How many would say amen? But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. In fact, we've been talking about faith promises. If you haven't, my wife and I are turning in our faith promise today. If you haven't turned in your faith promise, turn in your faith promise today. What are you going to do? Will you give up a lunch and a few cups of coffee so that we could be building our ability to impact local and global missions, which is aligning ourselves with the heart of God? How many would say amen to that right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. I know you're going to clap when you get in the car because you're so excited about this, but I want to encourage you, fill out a faith promise. I want to encourage you, get ready next week to give an offering. And if you miss Sunday, send in your offering. If you're watching online, send in an offering. This is going to local and global missions. And we know that this is aligning ourselves with the heart of God.